This is the Global Power Prayer Bible Hotline, dated January the 21st, 2021.
On the 19th, which would have been Tuesday, we took a look at the subject of Vatican Connection, and we started out on the road of that subject. Today we're going to look at part two of that same subject. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all of what we see happening around us, you have warned us concerning in advance. There is nothing that is occurring that you have not told us. And the accuracy of your prophecy is so clear that we can be calm and be assured that you know exactly where this will end. We come this morning asking that you would continue to be with us as we study and help everyone on this line to be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I've said before, I really like for you to take notes. That way you can go back and double check the things that I'm talking about. In our last session, we took a look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. We're going to begin there again today, but I want to remind you of those two verses because they are so significant. They are a direct description of the nation in which we live right now. Remember, Revelation chapter 12 talks about the earth that helped the woman. And that earth, as referred to in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 12, is in actual fact the United States of America. It's a place where God set up the opportunity for his remnant church to begin. This is the land in which the remnant church was started. And it was therefore described in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17 as the earth that helped the woman. And remember that in that same verse that we talked about in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the fact that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which means that you and I must understand that the battle that is before us is not a far distant away, because the Bible tells us that ultimately, even though God has placed us here, provided an opportunity for us to begin his remnant church, the dragon will be after us. Now, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 describes the original formation of the United States of America, a Protestant nation and a Republican nation. And I don't know if any of you were watching the installation of the new president yesterday, but in all of that, there was this young lady who stood up by the microphone and repeated the Pledge of Allegiance. And you know, I thought it was such an amazing thing. I said, I hope that those who were on the line yesterday morning, were listening. Because she repeated it. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. And remember, we described what the Republic was. A Republic is a form of government in which the will of the majority is respected while the rights of the minority are protected. Now, that is contained in the Constitution. That is contained in the First Amendment. But we have been informed by Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 that that Republican form of government, the will of the majority being respected and the rights of the minority being protected, that is going to change, says Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. And America will ultimately begin to speak as a dragon. Dragon meaning dictatorial, authoritarian, theocratic, moving away from the freedom to believe and to worship as your conscience tells you, to it being an enforced worship that will take place. And so when you look at that, you realize that all of the things that you're seeing now are exactly what God has told us in advance. And it goes a little further than that, because in verse 12 it says that that kind of attitude will not only exist in the United States of America, but it will cause, notice that word cause in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12, cause the earth, meaning the entire planet, and them which dwell therein. Now that's very clear. You know, one of the beautiful things about the way that God inspires the writers of scripture, he does not leave anything out, just for clarity, so that no one would misinterpret the phrase causing the earth. You know, someone would come up with the idea, well, he wasn't talking about people, he was talking about the planet, he was talking about the climate. No, not just the climate. And I want to say that again, because I'm going to come back at that same subject a little further down in this series as we work together here. He causeth, the United States of America will cause the earth, not just the climate, but the text says, and them which dwell therein. You got me now. Okay. So this is not just about a plan that Pope Francis has to solve the problem of climate change. In his last encyclical, he used the terminology, a day of rest is needed for the land to be restored. And I was blown away by the fact that he used that terminology. And even where it went further than that in the encyclical, if you ever get a chance to look at it, he makes the point, he even exercises what God says in his word. God says, he says, the Bible says that God says that every seventh year there should be a Sabbath upon the earth so that the earth might be restored. All right. Now notice what is happening here. They're dealing with this particular Pope is dealing with climate change, and he's talking about the earth needs a day of rest every week. Notice he didn't say anything about worship yet. He didn't say anything about church yet. He's just talking about the earth. But notice that Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12 says, yeah, they might be using that terminology, earth, but it's more than that. And them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, I'm doing this for you this morning because I want you to understand that every detail, the smallest detail of what you see happening around you, is a fulfillment of what God has said. And you know, some of these texts that we're repeating here are texts that we've known all of our lives, but we've never been able to really understand all of the text until we see what is happening. This is why God says in his word, I told you before it come to pass, so that when it come to pass, you will know that I have told you. In other words, yes, I'm telling you something now that is going to happen down the future. And you might have one understanding of it, but you will only get the real understanding of all of what I'm saying when it actually comes to pass. All right, so that's where we began last time, looking at Revelation chapter 13. And we took a look at a quote from Great Controversy, page 573 in paragraph 1. I hope you wrote that down, and if you did not, please write it down. That way you can go and read it for yourself. I choose the quotes from the books that I think I'm sure you have, and I'm sure that everybody on this line has access to A Great Controversy. And remember that that quote starts, in the movements now in progress in the United States to secure for the institutions and usage of the church the support of the state, Protestants are following in the steps of papists. Nay, more, they are opening the door for the papacy to regain in Protestant America the supremacy which she has lost in the old world. And that is pretty clear, quite obvious. What you see happening today and the kind of government that we have, the people who are in charge of the different departments of government, it is clear very clear that Protestantism and Catholicism are hand in glove working together. As a matter of fact, all you need to do is to look at the installation of the new president just yesterday, and you take a look at the religious affiliations that are there. And we won't get into that this morning. That is an entirely different, that's an entire subject all by itself when we take a look at who is president, what he is, what is his belief system is. And I'm not just talking about his religious affiliation. I'm talking about his belief system and what he embraces as the answer to the problems that exist. And then we take a look at some of the people that he has chosen, but other people who are already in place. The number of judges that are on the Supreme Court, what their affiliation is. The number of judges on the lower courts, what their affiliation is. The affiliation of some of the men who were trying to undo the election in the first place, who they are and what their connections are. All right. We're going to take a look at that looking forward. And the reason why that is important, it is not important from a political standpoint. It is important from a prophetic standpoint, because it is the fulfillment, the exact and literal fulfillment of everything that God has told us in advance. And then we read an article in our last session, or at least we read a couple of pages from Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Remember that? We just did that on Tuesday. You shouldn't forget that. And we talked about the fact that in this meeting that they had in 1852 up in Buffalo, they decided that they were going to take possession of the United States of America. And they even went through a list of all of the offices that they were planning to take control of. And the list was, not a single judge, not a single teacher, not a single policeman will be elected if he be not a devoted Irish Roman Catholic. Now, I'd like to pause here, with this word Irish, because back then in the 1800s, the nation that was coming to the United States of America with such large quantities was the Irish, and they are Catholic. If you notice, just last night, one of the first one of the first documents signed by this new president is he reversed the blockage at the southern border that did not allow people from South America to come into the United States of America. All right. So he opened it up again. That's one. Now he signed 17 of those documents last night, just last night, shortly after being installed. And one of those documents opened back up the border again. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in South America, Catholicism represents between 87 and 92% of the population. So when people begin to come across the border, the majority of those people coming across the border are Catholics. And if you go to a Catholic church in South America, unlike in the United States of America, you go in on Sunday mornings, those churches are packed with people. They are very devout and very devoted to their faith. So notice now, that meeting that was held in 1852 was talking about Irish Roman Catholics. Well, now notice we have South American Roman Catholics coming in. And the list continues. Not a single senator or member of Congress will be chosen if he be not submitted to our Holy Father, the Pope. And then they make the point at that meeting in 1852. What a sad figure those Protestant Yankees will cut when we will not only elect the president, but fill and command the armies, man the navies, and hold the keys of the public treasury. And what is really amazing is that I'm reading this at the day after the man who has been elected to be president and has been installed as president is indeed not just a Catholic, but a devout Catholic. All right. So we took a look at that yesterday. And I told you that there was something that I wanted to read for you that I didn't get an opportunity to do that, but I will do that today. There is an article found in Christian Ethics Today website. That's Christian Ethics Today website. The writer of the article is John Swamley. Now, please write this name down. I want you to go and check it for yourself. His last name is spelt S-W-O-M-L-E-Y, John M. Swamley. Now, Dr. Swamley is a professor of social ethics at St. Paul's School of Theology in Kansas City, Missouri. He is an ordained Methodist minister and a veteran activist as he continues to write and on all kinds of Christian issues. Now, he wrote an article back in the year 1997, and it was in the month of April that he wrote the article. Again, let me spell his name in case your pen wasn't writing. Swamley, S-W-O-M-L-E-Y, first name John. Here's the title of the article that he wrote in Christian Ethics Today website. The Vatican Connection, How the Roman Catholic Church Influences the Republican Party. Now, again, this is a Methodist minister. This is not somebody writing in Adventist Review. And look at the year he's talking about. This is 1997 he's talking about. He's not talking about Trump time at all, right? The title again, The Vatican Connection, How the Roman Catholic Church Influences the Republican Party. Now, here's a little bit of that article, and I'm going to take it piece by piece because I want you to understand that this Methodist minister, and I want to emphasize that, this is not an Adventist minister, all right? This Methodist minister says this. In the 1996 election, Robert Dole's endorsement of the Catholic political agenda, along with a similar endorsement by the Republican Party platform, made the Republican Party, in effect, a religious or sectarian party. Now, I know that many of you on this line remember Bob Dole, all right? I know you do. But I don't think that you realized that Bob Dole was an embracer of a Catholic agenda. But this is what a Methodist minister is revealing concerning the history of this man. Let me read it again. In the 1996 elections, Robert Dole's endorsement of the Catholic political agenda, along with a similar endorsement by the Republican Party platform, made the Republican Party, in effect, a religious or sectarian party. The Catholic bishops took action to aid the Republican Party. Henry Hyde, you remember that name too, don't you? In turn, according to the National Catholic Reporter, invited Catholics to help him develop the party's 1996 platform. Now, I'm not talking about the 2020 platform. I am talking about 1996 platform. And incidentally, this is one of the reasons why, when all of what has been happening recently with our former president, President Donald Trump, and some of the changes that were made, some of the attitudes that have been taken, there was an absolute silence coming from the Catholic cardinals and the Catholic priests in the United States of America, because the Republican Party, who were also being silent, were a part of the program. And they were not a part of the program based on Donald Trump's election, all right? They had been a part of that program for years, all the way back to the 1980s, as you shall see. And all of that, the reason why this is important this morning, let me say it again, is because God told us that this was going to take place, that we would stop being a republican form of government, one in which the will of the majority is respected and the rights of the minority are protected. That is what a republican form of government is. We would stop being a Protestant nation, one in which the Christians protested against being forced to worship. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Sola Fides, by faith alone. Sola Christos, by Christ alone. We would stop being that. And we would stop our form of government. And we would begin to speak as a dragon. All right? Now notice how the article continues. It was the Vatican's program that dominated the Republican Party platform and presidential campaign in 1996. Let me say it for the third time. This is a Methodist minister writing here. It was the Vatican's program that dominated the Republican Party platform and presidential campaign in 1996. Although Ralph Reed, remember that name also? And the Christian Coalition claimed the credit. After winning the Republican primaries, candidate Robert Dole made a major speech to the Catholic Press Association's annual convention in Philadelphia on May the 23rd, in which he endorsed school choice, which involves the funding of parochial schools through tuition tax vouchers. Now, the word parochial does not really reveal all of what they had in mind. Parochial here means Catholic schools. And I want you to know that they didn't really get it done that well then. But Betsy DeVos, was the education secretary to President Donald Trump, finally got it done during her time. She got the Senate and the House to pass legislation that allowed for taxpayer dollars, vouchers then, to be used to pay parochial schools or Catholic schools. In other words, if you had a child that was going to a public school and you decided that you wanted to move your child from public school to a Catholic school, the government would have to issue a voucher of taxpayer money, all right? And that would allow for the tuition at the Catholic school to be paid by taxpayer money. Or if you had a large quantity of kids or something like that, you would be given a tax break on that because it is now appropriate for taxpayer money to finance Catholic schools. Now I'm pausing because I hope you understand that this did not begin with Betsy DeVos. This was all the way back there. And this is after Robert Dole had won his primary, the Republican primary. He was pushing this agenda. And then he gave a speech, a very important speech he gave. He had a meeting with Cardinal Anthony of Philadelphia. And on June the 25th, Dole had an hour-long private meeting with Cardinal John O'Connor of New York City, in which they discussed Dole's commitment to the papal position on abortion. So notice now, point after point, school education, payment of tuition, concept of abortion, the entire Catholic agenda. Now we're talking about the year 1996, and we're talking about the fact that God has told us in advance in Revelation chapter 13 that this is going to happen, that the United States of America is going to join hands with Catholicism and force the entire world to worship the first beast. Now, this is incredible. Because when John, you heard me say this before, when John is sitting on the Isle of Patmos and writing this stuff, like he wrote in Revelation chapter 10 when he wrote about us, he wrote in Revelation chapter 11 and he was writing about us, he wrote in chapter 12 and he was writing about us. He's writing, but we don't exist yet. As a matter of fact, not only don't we exist yet as a church, but the United States of America does not exist yet as a nation, as a coming together. But God in his wisdom, seeing the future, seeing that we would be on this line this morning, talking about this, and he's seeing this before we even exist. But he knows that we need this information. He knows that we need to be told this in advance so that when it come to pass, we will know that he has told us, that we will not be afraid and panicked. Now, when we see what is happening, when we see the election and the installation of only the second papacy, the second papal president, when we see that, when we compare what happened yesterday with what happened back in 1960, when John F. Kennedy was running for president, and he had to go down to the South to explain to the then Protestants who were still protesting, it seems, that they did not want to have a Catholic president, because that Catholic president would be obedient to the Pope. Apparently back then, in 1960, they still knew that. They still understood that. That was their objection. They didn't want John F. Kennedy to be president, because as far as they could remember, based on all of the studies that they had done, a Catholic is first obedient to the Pope before he is obedient to anybody else. And so they said, no, we do not want this man to be our president because he is going to be obedient to the Pope. And John F. Kennedy left and went down south and had a meeting that to this day is recorded on the internet. You can go on to the internet and find John F. Kennedy's speech to the Protestants. Notice how I'm pronouncing that word. The Protestants, those who were still protesting at the time. They are no longer protesting today, but they were protesting then. And it was a beautiful speech. And if you go on there and the whole speech is there. He makes the point that he is going to be obedient to the Constitution of the United States of America, and he's not going to be obedient to the instruction of the Pope. Well, of course, you know where that led. That caused him to be assassinated. Because instead of doing what he was supposed to do as far as the papacy is concerned, he is now deciding that he is going to obey the Constitution, and that Constitution is the very document that the papacy has always hated. They never thought that this was a legitimate document, and they wanted to get rid of it. So how can you have a man who is a member of your church, he is going to be the president, and now he's saying he's not going to obey what you say? No, we can't have that. And so he was out of there. Now, when you compare what happened back then to what happened yesterday, the joy on the faces of everyone, because this man is a peaceful man. He is a kind man. He's gone through a lot of pain in his life. He's lost family members. Every time you see him with someone, he has his arm around them. Little children, just last night I saw him holding a little child in his arms as the whole celebration was going on. And let me tell you, that's his personality. I have no doubt that That is not a pretense at all. That is who he is. The problem is that he has a very close relationship and an agreeable relationship with Francis, and the whole concept of climate change is embraced entirely by them both. As a matter of fact, his relationship with the papacy goes all the way back to John Paul II, when he was 37 years old. All right? But we will deal with that in the future. What I want you to understand is that when we look at these issues and we realize that we don't need to be disturbed by what happened yesterday, because God told John this on the Isle of Patmos, which means that if John was told this on the Isle of Patmos before we were even born, then God is with us here right now. And he has the answer to any challenge that we are going to encounter in the future. As a matter of fact, we should be walking around with a smile on our faces, because while the media and the journalists and the historians and the researchers are doing everything they know how to do to try to find out where things are going, where the man who is writing this article that I'm reading for you here, John Swamley, is simply writing what he is seeing happening, you and I can smile. You know why? Because we knew it before it happened. Because God told us before it happened. So that now it is coming to pass. We know that he has told us in advance. And not only that, we can be proud to know that he has told us what our position must be. I don't know if you've ever lived in a place where there was going to be a tornado. But there are certain stipulations that are given to homeowners when they live in a tornado alley. I've never lived in a tornado alley, but I've been in a place where tornadoes pass by. And the young man that I was staying with was explaining to me, he showed me his bathroom. He has a particular kind of bathroom that is pretty strong. He's reinforced the frame of the bathroom. And he says that when you hear that the tornado is coming, he says, you don't pause. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be sleeping or you could be, it doesn't matter. You just leave what you're doing immediately and you jump into that place that you've prepared for the tornado and you cover yourself over until the tornado is passed. And he says that, you know, in that part of the world, in certain parts of Virginia and Tennessee, he says, you don't even have to have a conversation with your family. You're watching television and all of a sudden a warning comes on the top of the television and the thing begins to scream at you. You don't have to ask any questions. You just get up and move. There is no discussion. There's no need for a discussion. You know in advance what that sound means. And you get up and you go and you cover up and you can hear the sound. He says, because a tornado is incredibly noisy. Sometimes if you try to talk while that is passing by, you can't hear one another. He says, when the sound is finished, when the sound dies down, you take the cover off your body. You get up and you come out of the bathroom to see if the rest of the house is there. But what caught my attention is he says that these are things that you're aware of, that you are warned about this in advance. And when you get the warning, you don't ask any questions. You just move. Move immediately. Because you have been told before it come to pass. So that when it come to pass, you would know that God has told you. Now what we see happening now, God has told us before it came to pass. So that now it is coming to pass. We know what to do. And the question that I have for you today is, where's your bathroom? How strong is it? Do you have a tub in there, bathtub in there? And do you have a cover that covers over? Are you prepared? Are you going to have a discussion about where to go when the tornado begins to come? The sound of the warning is already on the top of the television. It's right here. It's right here every day. And you cannot afford to be like the rest of the people in this country who are so happy. You know, you hear all of the musicians and the music stars, they're coming out and they're singing. They had this big celebration yesterday, last night, and I'm sure it'll continue today and perhaps a few days from now. And all of the songs that they were singing, songs like, we have a wonderful day, the sun has come out. You know, as far as they're concerned, the peace is here again. One of the big basketball stars has just sent one of his jerseys over to Vice President Harris, and he sent her a message telling her that she can put this in her office, and she's so kind, and she was so happy to receive it, and you know, it's almost like everybody believes, oh, this is going to be peaceful. This is going to be really fantastic coming down the pike here. But you and I know better than that. You and I know that what God says is going to come to pass. You and I know that the tornado is coming. You and I know that this is just the kind of tornado that Satan wants you to feel comfortable with. See, because everything that you see happening, everything that is being put in place, is exactly what God says is going to be put in place. And my question for you is, are you getting ready for the tornado? Or are you being misled or deceived by the apparent calmness? You know, one other, forgive me for using nature like this, but I think it's the best example that I can find. There is another thing in nature that happens all the time. Where the sea pulls all the way out and you're standing on the beach and all you see is yards and yards and yards and yards of sand. And you say, wow, the sea is going really far out. And then all of a sudden, the tsunami occurs and the water starts coming back. Now, if you don't know what that is, you will stand there and say, wow, look at this, mommy. Look, all of the water is going away. There is no water left. It's gone all the way out. It looks like if it's about a mile out. And then all of a sudden, the water starts coming back about 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 feet tall. You start to run now, but you can't outrun the water because it's coming back at a tremendous speed and pace. You see, when the water pulls back like that, that's a time of calm, right? We've got a man now who is a nice personality. He's loving and he's kind and he feels our pain. and so this is not like the guy we had before. No, this is a nice guy. This is, yeah. And the water pulls back. It pulls all the way back. And you're singing beautiful songs and you're having a wonderful time. And at least now you can sleep tonight because we've got our country back again. But I want you to know that God has warned you that the water is going to come back. And when it comes back, you're not going to be able to outrun the water. When that water begins to come back to, towards the shore, if you did not leave when it was going out into the ocean, chances of escape are slim. All of what you see happening now is the fulfillment of what God has said. And I hope you'll remember those two examples, the tornado and the tsunami. Because you gotta be prepared. This is the time for your preparation. I remember the time when I saw the first tsunami, and I wasn't there. I saw it on television. But there were some people in the hotel. They were on the second floor of the hotel. The second floor of the hotel. I'm going to say it again. They were on the second floor of the hotel, looking through the window. When the sea began to pull out, it pulled out so far, they could not even see the water. And the lady who was doing the taping, she was not a journalist. She was just taping the thing. And all of a sudden, the water began to come back. The water came back with such violence that it knocked down the people on the second floor of the hotel. And of course, a bunch of people who were down on the beach who, unfortunately, lost their lives. My question for you this morning is, God has warned you of the tsunami to come long before it got here. John wrote about it long before there was even a United States of America. Question is, are you going to take God seriously? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to get ready for the time to come? The Spirit of Prophecy, you know, she says some amazing things, but one of the things that has always stuck with me, she makes the point that in most cases, when people say that something bad is going to happen, she makes the point that usually when the thing happens, it's never really as bad as how people say it's going to be. She says, but in the end time, the kind of trouble that is coming down the pike, pen cannot describe it. It is going to be worse than anything that anyone has written. And she makes the point. She makes a final point. She says, the only real protection that we have is to place ourselves in the hand of the Savior. Now this morning, I'm asking you this. Do you understand that there is a tornado coming? That you understand that there's a tsunami coming? Do you understand that you are living in that time of fulfillment? Which means you've got to do some preparing. And God is kind. You know those four angels in Revelation chapter 7 that are holding back the four winds? Those four winds are being held back for no reason other than, as is stated in the text, that you and I might be sealed in our foreheads. So as bad as things are, as bad as COVID-19 is, and I just heard this morning before I went on the line, that there are some diseases, some variants that keep rising up all over the place that cannot even be matched at the moment. They're still looking into all of this. So when you look at the diseases and you look at the famines and you look at the economic challenges that we have and you look at everything else that is around you, and then you look at the shift in American government and the absolute and total control of the papacy, now of everything that is happening in the United States of America and in the rest of the world, you and I know the dragon has only one objective in mind. He only hates one group. That is the remnant, the last part of the first part. That is you. And let me tell you something else. It doesn't make sense leaving the church and going back to the world. I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. I had to show what is going to happen to the rest of the world. Satan doesn't like the rest of the world. He's going to destroy them. Okay? He pretends to like them because he uses them to try to see if he can come after God's people. But ultimately, when the four angels are removed and the storms begin to hit and the conflicts begin to increase and the presence of God, the Spirit of God is being removed from the earth, then the rest of mankind is going to experience some difficult times. Your best choice, let me say it again, your best choice this morning is to choose Christ. Your wisest choice is to choose Christ. Not just intellectually, not just because your name is written down on a church clerk list somewhere, but your best choice is to hand your life over to the Son of God now. And forget all of the rest of the nonsense that you become involved in recent years. Forget all of the things that you thought were so important, because they're not. They are not. You need to give your heart to the Lord this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for the warnings that you have given us in advance. We know that without you, we can accomplish nothing. And so we're asking you, Lord, to fill us with an understanding of commitment. Help us to do that which needs to be done in our own personal lives. Help us, Lord, to please spend some time in the closet. And if necessary, to choose a literal closet, a place of privacy. We don't need to discuss this with anyone. There are certain things about our lives we don't even need to discuss with our families. Each one of our family members needs to have a personal and direct and complete and open relationship with our Lord and Savior. So help us, Lord, this morning to understand that you in your kindness has warned us concerning the tsunami, concerning the tornado, concerning the storm. Help us not to be deceived. Help us to walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the Global Power Prayer Bible Hotline, dated January the 21st, 2021.